let's jump right in. Ephesians 3. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. It's a special responsibility. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. I just want to pray one more time. Father God, I just pray that you would reveal your mysterious plan today. That you would keep showing us more and more of who you are, what you're doing, how you're working. God, we just desire to build this church on your foundation. Your son, Jesus, as the cornerstone, the apostles and the prophets, the foundation, it says in Ephesians. God, we love you and we praise you. Lord, thank you for revealing the mystery that you have revealed to us, and thank you for the mystery that will be revealed as we keep going on and running this race with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, today's a great day. There's a lot of great things happening. Let's keep going here in Ephesians 3. It says in verse 6, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Gentiles and Jews share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. The Jewish people knew of the promises. They knew of God's word. Like, they knew what their inheritance was, what it looked like. And now all of a sudden these Gentiles are coming along and they find out, guess what? You can hop on too. It's for you now also. Which, praise God, because I'm guessing most of us in here are probably Gentiles. Like, I'm just guessing. Pastor Andrew thinks he's got some Jewish blood in him. I don't know. He says that all the time. You got to ask him about it. Listen, you got to understand and know this is a big deal. We get to share equally in the promises. We get to share equally in the inheritance. And so now what was once just for them, now we get to be, in Romans, Paul says, grafted in. So in a tree, you would tie a branch that you wanted to graft in. You would cut it in just such a way, and you would cut the branch in just such a way, and then you would tie it tight, and all of a sudden, the branch and the tree would begin to grow together. We're grafted in. We're these branches that have been grafted in. That's what God did through Jesus Christ, through the blood. We get to be grafted in. So now we share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. You're now a child. You're adopted by the blood of Jesus. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. There's so many promises all throughout the Old Testament, so many promises of blessing. Most of us, we kind of just get so excited, and I get it. This is me. Like, as a kid, I just heard, oh, I don't have to go to hell. That's great. Like, yeah, this Jesus, this whole thing, this sounds great. I don't want to go to hell. And so that was all I really knew. But then as you start getting into the whole word of God, you start to find out, oh, no, there's a lot of promises for his people. And so I thought, oh, man, I just kind of got to suffer and just, you know, I just got to make it to heaven someday. No. There's a lot of promises, and even Jesus says, you can have life to the full right now. He doesn't say, when you die and go to heaven. No, you can have life to the full right now. You can take hold of the promises. You can be fresh and flourishing all the days of your life. Psalm 92, like all these promises, and some people are like, well, that's Old Testament. But in Hebrews, it says, we now have a better covenant. Well, there's some pretty good things back in the Old Testament. It doesn't make sense that all those good things from the Old Testament, now they're gone and they don't matter. No, they still matter because now we actually have a better covenant with better promises. So don't just throw out the Old Testament and be like, oh, no. No, it's all for today. Understand that. He wants you to have life to the full. That doesn't mean that there won't be hardships. That doesn't mean there won't be trials. That doesn't mean there won't be suffering. But you can still walk in the fullness and the power of God through every trial, every suffering, every temptation, whatever you're facing right now. When Paul was shipwrecked, he still was living life to the full. He was still living on the better promises. You know what happened when he was shipwrecked? It says that they started to build a fire, and out of the fire, a snake jumped up and bit Paul on the hand. You know what Paul did? He fell down and died. No. He shook it off. Everybody looked at him, and they're like, they're just waiting for him to fall over and die. It never happened. It was supernatural. It was miraculous. I'm telling you, there's some of you, you don't even realize the supernatural and miraculous that you walk in that you just take for granted. In the New Testament, it says they will drink poison and not be harmed. Do you know what they put in the water supply? Have you ever researched it? Some of you are like, oh, this guy's a conspiracy theorist. Research it. Check it out. But let me tell you something. I drink poison every day, and I'm fine. Why? Because I know the promises of God. I know what his word says. Now, listen, I'm not saying go out and start drinking Coke every day. Like, no, that's poison, all right? Like, but I'm just, yeah, somebody was offended by that. Somebody was like, hey, don't talk about Coke like that. Look at the ingredients, all right? Just get the Mexican Coke in the glass bottle, the cane sugar. There's a little less junk in that, okay? Listen, I'm telling you, like, there's promises of God that you're living in and that you're walking in that you do not realize. And on this side of heaven, unless he gives you a revelation of the mystery of what's going on, and you can begin to ask him, God, give me a revelation. You may not ever understand it, but he'll start to give you revelation if you begin to ask him. And so in these past 5 years, I've started to ask him, God, just give me revelation. Let me see what you see. Let me see how you see the world. And there's things he desires to show you in how he's moving and working. In fact, Pastor Stone even touched on it a little bit, the tithe. Some of you, you've been practicing the tithe, and a little bit you're kind of like, I don't really know if I see anything. I don't know. I'm not a billionaire yet. I just kind of thought if I tithe, like if I sowed, then I would reap, and that's what the Bible says. But some of you, you don't even really understand. Ask the Lord, what have you protected me from? How have you rebuked the devourer in my life? It says that in Malachi, that if you tithe, he will rebuke. There is a devourer that desires to devour, to steal, kill, and destroy, to devour. And if you begin to ask him for revelation, he'll begin to show you. Trust me, I've had so many moments in my life. I testify about this one a lot. When we started this church, I'd been at another church. My wife and I, we were there for 15, 16 years. We tithed faithfully there for years. And at the end of it, COVID hit, 2020, and we get fired. And we're like, well, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? And we felt the Lord saying, fight for revival in this city. Start a church. And as we kept going, step by step, faith by faith, not really knowing what he was going to do or how he was going to work or how he would deliver. We had money in the bank set aside. We had a severance that I got from that church. And it was there. And as we started the church, it started to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And as it got down to about zero, I just kept praying, God, like, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, the week it hit zero, we got all the paperwork we needed to officially open Revival's bank account and start online giving. And I still remember when those first couple people started to sign up for recurring giving and saying, yeah, I want to sow into the kingdom. And all of a sudden, we started to see provision begin to flow. And we saw, like, okay, God's hand is on us. But then guess what? You start going for a little while, and you start to kind of lose sight, right? The more you run this race with God, the more the devil will tempt you to forget what God has done in the past. I'm telling you, the longer you run the race, the more the devil will come after you and say, he's not going to do it again. In fact, it was actually better then. It was, you know, it's kind of scary what you're walking into. You're walking in the wilderness right now. You can't see more than a few steps ahead of you. At least when you were a slave in Egypt, you knew you had food, you had water, you had everything you needed. And the devil wants to tempt you to go back into slavery. And he's saying, I'll be your provider. I'll keep you safe. And so I remember that. We had this miraculous timing where we had hit zero, and all of a sudden, like, God opened up doors, and all of a sudden, tithing began to come in for this church. And you start running, and you get 3 months down the road, and then you start thinking, like the devil whispered this thought to me. Just imagine if you, he wanted me to be bitter. Just imagine if you had all the money that you had tithed from that previous church that fired you. Just imagine if you had all that to start this new church. Wouldn't that be so great? That'd be a great start to this church. You'd have so much money. You'd be able to do all kinds of things. You'd be able to put a down payment on a building and do all. That's what he was whispering to me. And I started to get a little like, yeah, God, I deserve that. Come on, God. Like, they don't deserve that. And he just said, son, you weren't tithing to them. You were tithing to me. Trust me. I'm your provider, not them. Really, when I tell this story, I'm a little more honest. Let me be a little more honest. When I was complaining and whining to God, I really felt him say, shut up. Just watch me. I really felt that strongly. I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And I figured it out. We had probably, over all the years that we were there, our tithe was probably about $120,000. I was like, man, if we had that right now, that'd be so good. Actually, it was less. It was probably 110, 100, something like that. We get to the end of that year after only 6 months of giving from June until the end of December. And do you know how much the Lord provided in 6 months? Over $150,000. Above and beyond what I was like whining for, what I was crying for. And I'm just telling you that to build a little faith. I just want you to build a little faith in this season. Because I'm telling you, he wants to do a good work. Begin to trust him and begin to ask him, Lord, just give me revelation for how you're working right now. If you're struggling to believe, if you're struggling with that doubt, like, God, are you really working? Are you really doing something? I'm not so sure. Just begin to ask him, God, please reveal to me what you're doing. And he's going to start to clue you. Guess what? He wants to clue you in. He wants to bring you into the conversation. There's a story in Genesis where God is talking with these other angels, and they're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and what they're going to do, and he's telling these other angels, he's basically like, I kind of want to bring Abraham in on this. And he brings Abraham in on this. Like, I just believe God wants to bring you in on this. Begin to ask him for revelation of the mystery in this season. Just begin to ask him, Lord, show me what you're doing, how you're moving, how you're working. I just want to see. God, build my faith in this season. Here you go, back to Ephesians. Verse 8. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Some of you are called to ministry. Some of you are doing ministry right now. Some of you full-time, part-time. I don't know what it is. Some of you just know. Like, hey, I might not be paid, but I know I'm called to ministry. I'm called to kingdom work. Never forget, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's an honor and a privilege to get to be called his son and to get to minister and preach and teach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a burden, it's a privilege. Don't forget that. In every season, even in the shipwreck, even on the mountain, even in the valley, it doesn't matter what season you're in, it's a privilege. He calls you a son. He calls you a daughter. You're adopted in by the blood. It's a privilege what we get to do, and we get to do it together. I was chosen, don't forget that, you were chosen, to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Hold up there on verse 10. Look at that. God's purpose in all this was to use the church, that's you, you're the church, to display. The church is a display. You are called to display God's wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. There are unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. There are forces at work that we cannot see. And the church is a visual testimony to them, to what God has called and created. You were called, you were chosen, you were created. It says we're in an unseen war as you go on through Ephesians. When you get to Ephesians 6, it talks about this battle that you're in against these unseen rulers that are at work. And some of you, you kind of know this, you understand this. There's something bigger and greater than what we can see and understand in the flesh. There is an invisible enemy who desires to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to cut God's people off. That's his desire. That's their desire. But I'm telling you, you're called to rise above it. You're called higher. That's what you're called to. Don't get caught up in the ground game. Rise above it. The devil wants you caught up in the ground game, so you're so focused on the flesh, you're so focused on that mom or that dad or that aunt or that uncle or that friend or that brother that left you, that hurt you, that offended you, that wounded you, that took advantage of you. You're so focused on that that you're forgetting, no, there are invisible powers at work that know if they can get you offended and unforgiving, then they got you. They got you. They want you in the spirit of offense. There's a spirit of offense in this world that desires for you to be offended and will even kind of whisper and tell you, oh, you're justified in your offense. They did you wrong. You're the victim in all this. They are the bad guy. They want you to focus on the flesh and say the flesh is the bad guy. The flesh is the enemy. No, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the unseen rulers and principalities in this world. That's the battle. So don't let unforgiveness and bitterness, trust me, I know. The devil keeps trying to pull me down week after week, month after month. Don't you want to be mad at them? Don't you want to be angry at them? Think about what they did to you. Think about what they've said about you. Think about the gossip. Think about the slander. Think about the accusations. No. I'm not going to get caught up in the ground war. I'm rising above on wings like eagles. Come on. Don't you want to rise above? Don't you want to be above? Don't you want to be the head and not the tail? Don't you want that today? Let's rise above it today. Somebody hurt you. Somebody harmed you. It's okay to have a boundary, but don't be offended with them. Don't let your heart be blocked up. If you can't forgive as you've been forgiven, you won't be forgiven. Jesus said that. I'm telling you, that's one of the most offensive things I've preached in the last 6 months. People have left the church over that. But I'm going to keep preaching it because Jesus said it. And I want people to be free. And I want those people that left the church to be free. And I, guess what? I believe that I sowed a seed that day. And maybe they weren't ready to forgive that day, but someday that seed is going to grow because that's what God's word does. God's seed will grow, and all of a sudden it will break through that hard ground. And all of a sudden the water comes and the growth happens, and it's supernatural. And one day that person is releasing and forgiving that person they've been holding on to and saying, no, I can forgive some people, but not them. No. Jesus didn't set a standard. Like, oh, he didn't say, listen, forgive these people, but not these people. No, it's for everyone. It's for everyone. Don't get caught up in the ground war, looking at the flesh, blaming the flesh. Let's rise above it in this season. Don't let these unseen powers, these rulers, don't let them win. The way they win is through deception. That's it. The way they win is through deception. They desire to deceive you, to get you offended, to get you hurt, to get you to leave, to get you to run, to get you to break covenant, to get you to flee from God, to get you to start to compromise with God. Start to say, yeah, God, I know what your word says, but I did this and I gave this and I did this, so I don't think I need to obey all your word. If you're starting to deal with God, like, that's not how it works. He's a God of covenant, not a God of compromise. He's invited you into covenant. Now listen, don't get me wrong here. You're saved by grace. But when you are saved by grace, then you're invited into relationship, into covenant, and you begin to realize, oh, his ways are better than my ways. You keep trying to compromise and kind of keep a little bit of the world and a little bit of God, and I'm telling you, if you would just let go of the world, he's got something so much better for you. Just let go of that compromise, whatever area it is, wherever you're trying to kind of deal with God and say, God, I'll do all these things, but not this. I know what your word says, but I'm not really, I don't want to give you all that. I don't want to do all that, or I do want to do this. And I, stop it. Just say, Lord, have your way in me. It's a simple prayer. Lord, have your way in me. Teach me your ways. I desire to honor you, to walk with you, to run with you. Keep running with him. Verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. When we come into worship, we come into God's presence. When we get into our car, when we go to sleep, when we wherever it is, when we come to him in a moment of prayer during the day, guess what? You can actually come in to God's presence. You can live fully aware of his presence all the time. Begin to become more aware of his presence. Come into his presence boldly, confidently. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. Just because you see some trials, just because some of your friends, your family are going through trials, don't lose heart because of the trials. Sometimes we see a trial or we see a struggle and we think, oh, we need, oh man, this is bad. We got to get out. We got to run. A trial is not always a sign that you're supposed to run. Sometimes a trial is a sign that you're supposed to stand strong, stand bold, stand confidently on God's word and what he's told you. Don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Just slow down there. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of all of everything in heaven and on earth. When I start really focusing on my trials, my vision gets really small. All I can see is what's right here in front of me. And I think that's what Paul is saying here. And he's reminding us, no. Don't get so focused on the trial that you lose sight of who God is and what he's done. Don't lose your vision. Don't lose your faith right now in this season. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. He is the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. When your vision gets really small, oh, I can't get out of this debt. I can't get out of this trouble. I can't get out of this trial. I can't get out of this struggle. Everything gets really small. Remember, he's the creator of heaven and earth. He knows from the beginning to the end. He knows it all. We say this a lot around here. God is not in heaven looking at your trial or your situation and worrying, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to get out of this. No. He knows. He's got you. Don't run from him in this season. Look and be reminded of who he is. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Stay planted. Stay planted. Psalm 92, those who are planted in the house of God will be fresh and flourishing all the days of their lives, producing good fruit, even into their old age. Stay planted. The devil wants you to run. The devil wants you to flee. He wants you to be scared. He wants you to be terrified. He wants you to see others running and think, oh, I need to run. People are running, I need to run. No, no, no. When others run, you can stand strong and rooted in his word and in his promises. And no, 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 no. He's my deliverer. He is the creator of all things. He created heaven and earth. Why would I run just because I heard a sound? Why would I run just because I heard a rumor? Why would I run just because I saw others running? No, no, no. I'm going to stand strong and stand planted on his word and his promises in every season. In the harvest and in the dry season, when it looks like there's no provision, I'm going to stay rooted and let my roots grow down deep and strong. Because guess what? Even if there's no rain coming, you know about Nebraska? There's aquifers, right? What if the roots grow down so deep they begin to touch the water? What if you let your roots grow down so deep, it doesn't matter if you're in a dry season or a rain season, you're connected to the source. Stay connected to the source. Stay planted. Stay rooted. Don't forget that. Some of you, you're just looking in the flesh. You're looking at the world, and you're like, it looks kind of dry. It's going to be 100 degrees tomorrow. It doesn't look good. It's hot. Let your roots grow down deep in him. He's the water source. He's the living water. Stay connected. Do you understand? He has unlimited resources, and he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. He has unlimited resources. Right now, I get so caught up sometimes looking in the natural and looking in my flesh and being like, oh my goodness, like, we got to tighten things up and we got to do some of this. And if I'm just looking in the natural, I start to lose a little bit of faith. But if I go back to his word and his promises, I'm reminded of who he is. I'm reminded of what he's done, how he's shown up miraculously in the past, what he's done to provide for his people. And once you start to get that supernatural vision, then all of a sudden, you can move forward again through the dry season because you know, listen, I know it's hot outside, but I know who my God is. I know what he's done before, and I believe he'll do it again. He's the provider, and it's supernatural. Trust him in every season. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. May you look at that again. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. God, this is our prayer today. Let's pray right now. God, we pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, that you would empower us with inner strength through your spirit, that Jesus would make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. God, we pray that our roots would grow down deep into your love, that they would keep us strong. Father, we pray that you have the power to understand, that you would give us the ability to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. And God, may we experience the love of your Son, Jesus, even though it's too great to understand fully, that we would be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes only from you. All glory to you. God, through your mighty work within us, we know that you can accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think or imagine. Glory to you in the church and your Son, Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He's good. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. I shared this with our leadership team this morning, people that serve, people that come early to make a Sunday morning happen. And if you're not on a team, you, get on a team. Like, come to Connect Track, find a team to get on, start to connect with people, find a way to serve and be a part of God's house. But I shared with them, like, there's been seasons of the church where I know he's just given me plans and kind of shown me some things and just next steps. And here's what, you know, I've just felt so clearly he's shown me these things. And in this season, I'm just going to be so honest with you. This has been, and some of you know this, some of you, you're aware, and some of you, you're brand new, and you're like, I just got here. This seems great. It is great. But this has been one of the hardest trial seasons I've ever been through in ministry these last 6 months. I can't tell you, like, how many key couples, friends that have been with us and running the race and been a part of revival from the very beginning, from day one or year one, year two, and over these last 6 months have just left for one reason or another. And I was kind of looking at it at one point, and I bet it's probably, you know, at one point we were running, I mean, we had this place, you know, this is a great morning, actually. There's a lot of people here. But we had this place, I mean, packed. There were people sitting in the lobby in the spring, and we were running, you know, close to around 200 people with kids and adults in this room. And we were talking like, man, we got to start a second service, and we got to do all these things. And then all of a sudden, these people just kind of started just going to the left and to the right and leaving in this season. And we're kind of looking at it, and I've been looking, and I bet when I was looking, of that 200, in this past six-month period, we've probably lost 30% of our church. Like, people that have been with us and running the race and invested and all in, we've probably lost 30% of our church in this season. And I just tell you that because, man, God is faithful and he's provided. But my goodness, like, there's moments where I'm like, I see the numbers and I see the finances for this church, and I'm like, God, this is not what we budgeted for at the beginning of the year. We're a little behind budget. We're about 30% behind budget right now, Lord. And I just tell you that because I was in a church that kind of hid the numbers and didn't really share with people what was going on. I just want to be transparent and open with you. We lost about 30% of the church. We've lost about 30% of the finances. God is still faithful and he's still showing up. And there's still been enough to keep going. But I keep coming back to some of these visions and dreams of what he's called us to and what he's created us for, what this church is called to be in this city. And I'm like, God, I thought we needed more than that. I kind of thought we were tracking up and to the right. And all of a sudden, we're kind of down and to the right, Lord. I'm like, God, where do we go from here? What do we do? I was like, God, I just need something. I need some vision. I need something, God. What do I do? I don't know what to do. How do I lead your people through this season? How do we keep the doors open? How do we keep going? And I'm telling you, this is what he's showing me. It's the most ridiculous thing. It's crazy. I'm like, God, that's too simple, Lord. Like, that's too simple. I showed up here on Monday night this week, and there's this little kid from the neighborhood. Me and Pastor Andrew had a meeting, and there's this little kid from the neighborhood out here playing basketball on our little basketball hoop out here. I don't know if you've ever seen it. You got that picture Pastor Stone sent of me of the basketball hoop? It just says basketball hoop. I don't know. It's like a $150 hoop. It gets knocked down every time there's a little bit of a storm. It doesn't got deep roots. And we just keep picking it back up, and kids play on it. And we got a youth group here on Wednesday night, and there's 20 or 30 kids that go out there, and they're playing, and they're having fun. And I just felt the Lord saying, I went out and talked to this little kid, Jeremiah. And I told him about VBS coming up and some of the fun stuff at the church. And we had a Mountain Dew in the fridge, and I gave him a Mountain Dew. And I went back into my office, and I was praying, and I felt the Lord say, sow a seed. Put a good basketball hoop out here for this neighborhood. And I just was like, Lord, we need more than a basketball hoop. We need a miracle. Seeds are the miracle. I'm telling you, miracles start with a seed. And it might be small, and it might look like nothing, But I'm telling you, I believe that we're going to put a basketball hoop out here, and it's going to open miraculous doors for what he's got next for us. It just starts with a seed. I said, Lord, like what? Like you want us to get another, like, you know, like a really nice hoop, like a $500 hoop? And he's like, no, $2,000. Sow a seed of $2,000. I'm like, God, that's kind of tight right now, like our finances. He's like, teach your people. Teach your people. Teach them about sowing and reaping. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Some of you, I'm telling you, he's asking you to take a new step of faith in this season. And so we're going to sow a seed today. And when you sow a seed, it's above and beyond your tithe. Your tithe is obedience. And so if you are not giving 10%, if you're not sowing that first 10% to the Lord, then don't give to this fund. We started this fund. It's for our seed offering. It's called the Kingdom Builder Fund. You can go online. You can give online. And once we hit $2,000, we're going to put a nice basketball hoop out there. And I'm telling you, it's going to open miraculous doors. I believe it's going to open miraculous doors in your life. I don't care if you sow $20, $40, $50, whatever it is. You might be like, oh, it's just small. This is all I got. I just got a dollar today. That's a seed. God multiplies the seed 30, 60, 100-fold. I don't care how small your seed is. Sow it today by faith and know he multiplies the seed. There's a great harvest. I believe a harvest of souls he wants to win to the kingdom, and it starts with the seed of faith today. So once again, if you haven't started with the tithe, start with the tithe, because I want the devourer removed from your life. I want you protected supernaturally in your life. And then once you give that 10%, then you can look and ask the Lord, Lord, what's a seed I can sow into that kingdom fund to go above and beyond? He's going to do something amazing in this season. And it just starts with a seed. The world says, hey, you need to clench up. You need to hold everything. You need to pinch every penny. No, no, no. In God's word, he tells us, have faith. Sow generously. Pastor Stone shared that story of the widow. What did she do? She just had a little bit of olive oil. She was about to die. And the prophet told her, just start pouring it out and filling all these empty vessels. A miracle happened. She filled every empty vessel in her home. And I believe he's going to do miracles today. He's going to fill empty vessels today. Let's pray, and then let's worship. Father God, we love you. We praise you. God, thank you for how you're moving and working. Lord, I pray that you would just bless, that you would bless this moment. Father God, I pray for this neighborhood. I pray for this city. God, we pray for revival in the hearts and the homes of families. We pray for every person that comes into contact with anyone from this church, that they would know that they walk in the power and fullness of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for a fresh filling of your presence today in the lives of your people. I pray for a fresh revelation today of who you are. God, I pray for an encouragement and a building up. I pray for a strengthening of everyone's foundation today. I pray for a new growth of the roots down deep into your soil today, Lord. I pray that you would strengthen and empower your people, that you would give them the words, that you'd give them the moments, that you'd give them the vision, that you would give us the wisdom to walk in everything you've called us and created us to. And God, I pray that you would bless this seed today, that this seed would go on and change generations. Until we go home or until you come back, Lord, I pray that generations would be changed in the name of Jesus. It's not about a basketball hoop. It's about faith. It's about what you're going to do to connect people to your house and to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's stand and worship him as we close out.